And we're back live on your number one sports podcast, All Things Sports. I'm Small Town EP, Wade Julian with me. The end of the road is here. The national championship game in men's college basketball is upon us. Number one, UConn will take on number one, Purdue, 9:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. June, Klingon versus Edie, Edie versus Klingon. What is Edie going to have to do to stop Klingon from going back to back in about the next hour?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more than just Klingon, man. Edie's going to have to really dominate in a way that we might not have seen him do this tournament yet. I mean, we saw him do a 40-15 game versus Tennessee in that Elite Eight. And hats off to Edie, right? He was able to have a really, really good game versus DJ Burns in that NC State team a couple days ago. But it's just a different beast, man. This is a different beast. Purdue was the number one seed, you know, 2 years ago. Or last year they lost to Farley Dickinson, right, in the first round. 2 years ago they lost in, like, the Sweet 16. And they finally got over that hump, finally got here. Edie got the, you know, monkey off his back as far as being able to take this team this far. But as we all know, it's not about taking them there. It's about winning. And, yeah, to answer your question, I just think it'll got to be complete dominance on both sides. Starting with shutting Klingon down, and it's going to be a tough task regardless. But I think he also just needs to pray before the game that UConn doesn't come out lighting it up like they did in that Final Four. Because, I mean, we saw a really good game from UConn, right? And forgive me. Alabama. Yeah. Sorry about that. They were both shooting, you know, they were both shooting the ball at a healthy clip. So I don't know that UConn comes out and just does it again. Like, obviously they're going to come out and play great basketball, but the way they shot the ball in the Final Four, they'll be grateful if they can get that from their players tonight. So, you know, there is a chance for Purdue. He's going to need more than 20 points. He's going to need more than just a couple blocks, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that Bama game. I had Bama in the first half, man. The plus 6.5 looked too good to be true. And Bama came out swinging. They came out swinging. And it got ugly in the second half is pretty much what happened. I mean, I kind of see a similar game tonight. I do think that Purdue comes out swinging. But I don't think that anybody can stop this run that UConn's on right now. I mean, I think they will be back-to-back national champions this evening. We'll see Klingon on ESPN and probably on Sportsman like tomorrow morning, and, you know, face everywhere. It'll be a UConn fest. But I do think it'll be a good game. I think that either Purdue covers the first half or they cover the whole game. I don't know if they do both. It could get ugly in the second half. You got any closing thoughts on the matchup tonight?
I mean, shout to Ant Mark in the comments. AF and Mark, UConn's winning dog. Mark says Purdue after tonight. He's got the wheelchair emojis. Crazy. Yeah, man. I think there's a chance, right? There's a chance. Purdue didn't come this far. How Kim Kardashian said, just to come this far, or whatever she said. But, you know, so I'm going to give them the chance, having a player like Zach Edey in the paint, clogging things up and, you know, trying to make life hell for Klingon. But as I've said for the last 3 weeks, this UConn team is a team. Like, they play as a unit. They can shoot. They can drive. They can pass. Klingon is a good creator, you know, from that inside out game, and seeing the back door pause, you know, it just makes for a long night of defense if you're an opponent. And Purdue, I don't think, has enough. Jones is going to be an X factor there, but UConn, man, back to back. And again, we've said this too, they might go again next year. So it's just kind of the state of college basketball right now.
Yeah, man. And Purdue, they had to get through Grambling in the first round, Utah State, second round, Gonzaga, third round, Tennessee, and of course North Carolina State, UConn. These just blowout wins all throughout the tournament, man. 91-52 to Stetson, 75-58 Northwestern, 82-52 in last year's championship rematch against San Diego State. They just they had that game on their mind. Illinois 77-52 and then Alabama 86-72. The spread's at 7.5. I just think two number ones, national championship game, it's too many points. It's too many. I think if we were seeing, and I get, and I'm only talking from the matchup perspective of it being two number one seeds that are meeting in the championship. I think that UConn is a solid, 6 points better, but just the way that.
I think that's a good, it's crazy what pause culture has done to talking amongst friends, amongst the podcast about sports. Like, can't, you gotta really watch what you say. But I think Purdue does cover. I think Purdue, you know, has, UConn covers. And I think UConn has a chance to win this game by double digits. And I wouldn't be surprised if I see a 10 point winner. So shout out to Rip Hamilton. They're interviewing Rip Hamilton right now. UConn legend, obviously. But we got six people in the live, man, right now. Shout out to you Appreciate you, Rodney, in the chat. Free money, he said. That is free money. I do think it goes under. They got on ESPN Bet, they got it at 143.5. I definitely got it.
Dropped the whole point
before this game starts. So we gotta get out of here, E. No, I'm kidding. But hey man, shout out to UConn, shout out to Purdue. It should be a really good game.
We're in for a good one, Excuse me. South Carolina wins the women's college championship over Iowa. I mean, hats off to Dawn Staley and Camilla Cardoza and company. They, undefeated, you know? Just Dawn Staley lost all five of her starters from last season and still came back. Credit to her coaching, her staff. Lost all five starters, still came back. Won a national championship with a brand new starting five. Now, on the other side of that, they did beat Iowa. Caitlin Clark's run ends in a championship game. Now, June, is this loss for presumed number one overall pick in the next women's, in the next WNBA draft, Caitlin Clark, is it really a win? And hear me out, because the question sounds weird. You just lost in the national championship game, but hear me out. Is the impact that she has on the game, the future impact, the influence of bringing a larger influence and a larger image to the WNBA bigger than this loss in the national championship?
Yeah, it is bigger. However, so it is bigger as far as transcending the game and what it's doing for, young women who want to be like Caitlin Clark, or want to be women's college basketball champions, want to go 38-0 like South Carolina. It is bigger in that regard. As far as legacy goes, though, I think that's a big thing too here, because we're starting to see the conversation of hey, although she lost, is Caitlin Clark the best all time? And I watched Breonna Stewart at UConn, four times win that championship, right? And dominate. And obviously UConn in their heyday, they're kind of like, UConn literally just lost in the Final Four by two with seconds on the clock. So they're still competing. However, we have noticed a shift from UConn to South Carolina as far as the dominance. Coach Ariema, great, great, great coach. Probably the all-time greatest coach in women's basketball. But Dawn Staley, what she's building right now, as we speak, you mentioned they lost five starters. That's insane for them to build this powerhouse and be able to, just next five, not lose a game, not skip a beat, and do it in dominating fashion. We were talking about South Carolina, they blew that 17-point lead. They still won the game. But not to veer off too much, the ADHD kicks in here and there, but it is big for Caitlin Clark, regardless, win or lose, you know, what she's done for this sport. But to further the question and deepen the conversation, as far as that greatest of all time, yeah, I think that, you know, she's not, I don't think she's a top, she's not number one. I'll put it that way.
I mean, even with holding the title of, you know, most points, men, women's, like, even with that, I do think that this, it leaves a little bit, you know, of an asterisk as far as, I guess, if you want to talk about the GOATs conversation, you know, like, you couldn't win it all. But I mean, 30 points and 8 rebounds in a national championship game. And, you know, you lose, what is it, 12 points, 75-87. It's tough. Like I said, it puts an asterisk next to the GOATs conversation when she's talked about. I respect everything that she's done, obviously. She plays, you know, the game, I would say, the right way. You know what I mean? But it definitely does leave a little bit of an asterisk where it's like you couldn't win the big one. Then you lost, you know.
To be fair, you know, like what she was able to do with that Iowa team, like back-to-back national championships, you know, appearances, and we're talking about taking a team there. It's not like she didn't produce in the championship either time. You know, it's not like she didn't produce throughout the tournament. She has done what she did all season. And we just watched her, you know, battle it against Aja Reese. We were just praising, you know, how good Iowa played as a team, but they met their match. And I think we knew South Carolina was ultimately going to win the game. And I'm surprised Iowa kind of had the upper hand, or, you know, kind of led things throughout the whole first half until they didn't right at the end of the first half. And then from there, they weren't able to kind of get that lead back. And it's tough when, you know, she's known to shoot, right? She can do much more than that. She's a great passer. She moves without the ball. She likes to involve her teammates. And she's a smart player. Does she need to work on her defense? You know, maybe showing more effort on that side of the ball? Definitely. Because she shows a lot of passion on offense, but doesn't necessarily keep that same energy on defense. But again, I mean, she got this Iowa women's team to where they were back-to-back years. So hats off to her, a big credit to her, and everybody knows her name. If you know about women's college basketball right now, you know who Caitlin Clark is. So just credit.
No, absolutely. And, I mean, once again, hats off to South Carolina. Camila Cardoza, 15 points, 17 rebounds, man. 3 blocks. Powerhouse.
Tessa Johnson with 19.
And who knows, maybe we'll, like, we're talking about UConn, you know, going back-to-back this evening. Maybe we'll see South Carolina, or we will see South Carolina in the Final Four 100%. Next year. And 100%. Possibly even in the national championship game, right? I want to kick it over to the chat real quick. Michaela in there saying South Carolina plays fundamental basketball and that Caitlin Clark did not have the help that she needed, which is also true facts. It's also true facts. She's out here scoring half the team's points, and there's other teammates in single digits as far as points, but double digits as far as minutes. Can't have it, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, well, no points off the bench is crazy. Sorry.
No points off the bench is wild. I took a little trip yesterday. One of my little first outings up here in the beautiful city of Atlanta. I took a trip to Truist Park to watch the Arizona Diamondbacks that were in town take an L 5-2 to the Atlanta Braves. Hell of a game. Yo, Truist Park, man, one of the nicest parks that I've ever been to. I mean, it doesn't say much coming from a kid who grew up in South Florida, going to, you know, Lone Depot and back in the day, pro player, you know, what we used to call it. It's cool to see a team with hundreds of years worth of history. You got the Hank Aaron, you know, kind of monument statue. The park is a bit small, but I mean, the food's great. The vibes are cool. The setup, I mean, is immaculate. Like I said, it has a little plaza on the outside, a bunch of restaurants that you can go to, watch the game, a little lawn on the outside right in front of the right field fence. Beautiful park, man. 2021 champions. I'm sure they put some extra money into it after that season. The Chop House is what they call it. In June, you know, I was going to get in the spirit. I wanted to get a hat. I didn't do that. But I definitely wanted to kind of take in the atmosphere and the vibes, bro. And, you know, they do the freaking the chop, you know. And as a Hurricane fan.
I'm as a Hurricanes and a Chiefs fan, I'll give you that.
All right. So, you know, the Chiefs do
I did
do
the chop,
it as well.
Bro. I did the chop, bro. I did the
chop. But all I could think of, well, I'm not going to lie, was FSU. I looked at my girl and I was like, listen, hey, man, I'll never do this at a Miami game. Would never, ever do this at a Miami game. It definitely felt a little weird. But the atmosphere was great. The weather, 70s, Sunday afternoon, yeah. You know, breezy. I mean, what else can you ask for? Definitely 10 out of 10 recommend any trip or go and take.
I gotta go visit Truist, man. I gotta go see you in Atlanta, bro. Definitely gotta go see you in
vibes.
Hit the ballpark, you know what I'm saying? And then maybe do something at night.
Now the Mets. Ooh, the Mets, they jumped the gun. The Braves do host the Mets in a series. Game one of the series is on right now. Top of the fifth. Braves up 4-1. Looks like deja vu to me when I'm looking at the scoreboard, except a couple more hits than yesterday. 7 hits for the Braves, 4 hits for the Mets. Ooh, I mean, you got Charlie Morton on the mound for the Braves. I mean, it's one of their aces, one of their starters. What else do you expect for a team to get up? Similar yesterday, man. The Michael Harris homer, the Austin Riley homer. I mean, that's why Austin Riley gets paid $70,000 a game. I mean, what, you know, $212, you know, million dollars over 10 years. He comes out to What You Know About That by T.I., slaps a two-run homer. I had to make sure he wasn't from Atlanta. The boy's from Memphis.
He knows the vibes, though. He's a Southern boy.
Absolutely. That was cool. And then the Diamondbacks, who just lost yesterday to the Braves, they're on a 4-game losing streak going into Colorado tonight. They lost the last 4, last game in the Yankee series. They get swept 3-0 in Atlanta. They have lost 4 straight, 5 out of 6, but they're in Colorado tonight with Zach Gallen on the mound. Can they bounce back in Colorado tonight, June?
Yeah, I think it ends here. And that's more so just Colorado not being as good of a team there. You mentioned those losses. This is a team who was in the Final Four, you know, last year. And has World a
series,
lot of young talent.
Yeah, we just got done talking about.
I thought it was but I wasn't sure if they got to the NL. You know what I'm saying?
No,
Series. They did play in the World Series, though. So for them to come off, you know, this little slump, it's not necessarily so surprising because it is baseball. It's a long season. You know, you got to find your rhythm. The Rangers came out, you know, kind of just hitting the same beat. Adolis Garcia is like super jacked. And the Diamondbacks kind of have regressed right now, but. You mentioned Zach Gallen on the mound. You got to have all the confidence in the world, especially playing a team like Colorado, who hasn't necessarily found it just yet. I would be interested to see if they lose this series, right? Like, what's the narrative going to be? What are we here to talk about? Are they going to, you know, it's super early. We're still in April, for God's sake, right? This is week 3, maybe, of the MLB season, 2 or 3. Can't take too much from this. Something to monitor. You know what I'm saying? Something to monitor. I would hope that they win tonight, though, for their sake.
They're going into the bottom of the first right now, tied 0-0. They did get a hit in the top of the inning, but did not manage to bring that runner home. So we got Blackman, Tovar, and McMahon due up 1-2-3 for the Rockies. The Boston Red Sox. Yeah. You mentioned to me pregame. I guess, you know, we're going to call it pregame.
It's pregame, bro.
It's pregame. This is game time right now. Red Sox have a lowest ERA in the AL East.
Talk about it.
Whew. I mean, we talked about it on last pod with Kev, and it's great to see, you know, as much as it pains me to say, it's great to see the Red Sox, you know, and the Yankees on top of the AL East. Well, I mean, what are your thoughts? I know we just kind of touched on it last episode, but, you know, they played a couple times since.
Last year, or in March, just before this year, we signed starting pitcher Brian Bello to a 6-year, $55 million contract. He gets an option for the seventh year. It's going to keep him in Boston until about 2030. He's our ace right now. And look at that. We got another Dominican ace in Boston, and we got the lowest ERA throughout 2 weeks of baseball. Again, it's all fun and games. It's very early. It's nothing to get too excited about. But it is promising, and it is a great start. It's the start you want. You'd rather, you know, be the team that has started off good, and you don't want to be too happy about it, rather than, you know, look like the Diamondbacks, where we're like, hey, well, there's still time. No, like, let's get this thing going and going early. For the Red Sox, it's important. You know, pitching was an issue for us last year. It was one of our weak spots, and teams were able to take advantage of that. It's not – we got a lot of guys that returned from last year, but this feels like a different team. The energy is high. You know, it feels very positive. And also, we just signed our 23-year-old center fielder, Rafaela. We're going to have him for 8 years, $50 million deal. And what I like that we're doing is signing these young players to these long-term deals. And it's reminding me of what the Braves did a couple years back, signing, you know, guys like Michael Harris. They locked up Riley, obviously gave Acuna a nice chunk of change. Riley as well, deservedly so. But they do have a couple of those guys on long-term, cheaper deals. And if they pan out here in Boston, Rafaela, guys like Bello, obviously we have Devers, try to keep him happy. This could be something for the, you know, for the next five to eight years that we build upon. So shout out to our front office, because I was pretty upset the last two seasons and off seasons. What's going on? What is the plan? Who are we going to sign and all this? But it looks to me that we're playing patient, and we're trying to find the right guys to be in this locker room. I wanted to jump in the chat real quick.
Facts. I was doing it too.
Facts. Shout out to Mark. Yo, it's mad funny. This man Ant said, people be Mark with a K, Mark with a C. And this man is both. It's Mark with M-A-R-C-K. But shout out to you. You got both the C and a K. So if they ask you how to spell it, be like, look, bro.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them, you heard?
Shout out to Bro. It was Bro's birthday yesterday, April 7th.
Oh,
shout out
word. To happy belated, bro.
Shout out to the family. Absolutely. Right there. Yeah, moving along here.
Bro's in the chat. Yo, Ohtani just opened the top of the sixth in Minnesota with a double.
In where?
In Minnesota. With a double. Easy. Standing, walking. Yeah. So looks like he's now definitely improving, not just looking to swing for the yards.
He's not right? Playing a super anxious ball here. He's got a clear mind.
That boy took the over on his bases. Let me stop. Oh, man. Yeah, the MLB season. We're here. We're there. We'll move on to the NBA. The Heat, we were going into the last 11 games. General consensus between me, you, and Kev that the Heat would go 8-3 in the last 11 games. They are 4-2 since that prediction. So, you know, slightly on track, a little close to that threshold of three, you know, losses. But what have you seen in the last six games, man? Let's get the Heat check into the episode this evening.
Fuck everything but last night's game. We lost to the Pistons. We lost to the Pacers. And it's just a game you had to have. You want to lock up the sixth seed. You want to get the tiebreaker between Philly. You want to have the tiebreaker between Indiana. You got to go on the road to Bankers Field Life Stadium, a place where we struggle in the regular season. Historically, couldn't get it done. You know, behind Jimmy Butler's 27, Bam's 20, Jovic had 18. We went down early yesterday, and there was a valiant effort to fight back. Tyler Herro's been back inserted into the lineup. missed a lot of time with injury, hit a couple clutch shots, kept us in the game late. But all of that was way too late, man. All of that was way too late. I don't know what it is about TJ McConnell versus the Miami Heat, but we cannot guard this man. We cannot stop this man. And I think it was Miles Turner who they asked him about TJ McConnell, and he was like, you know, I think that when they put the white boys on him, like, he wants to prove a point. Like, I'm that white guy. And that was his quote. So I could see that. And it's evident that he does, you know, try a little harder, or, you know, the defense is a little easier when he's guarded by guys like Hero and Duncan Robinson. But this is the Heat check, not the Pacers check.
Facts.
Miami has put themselves in a hole in which they must climb out. Last year, they were able to climb out. You know, they made the play-in, lost to the Bulls, and then beat, I want to say Atlanta. I don't remember specifically who it was, but we made our, you know, playoff seed, eighth seed, and went to the finals. Everybody's saying, you know, hey, this team doesn't seem to be the same as last season. Don't expect that Cinderella run to kind of go back. And I'm not going to say they're not, and I'm not going to say they are. I think this team is this team that we are. It's a team that I've seen be able to turn it up. It's a team that I've seen disappoint. But that's much like every Miami Heat team. So that being said, we got to figure out how to get in the playoffs, not in the play-in. It's still a possibility, but it's going to be really tough. We're going to need other people's help. And if we do make the play-in, hey, you know, you make your bed, you got to lay in it and figure stuff out. So I still have a lot of faith. Shout out to Kev. He's not here with us tonight, but you got to have the guts. We have enough, like Kev says. So have the guts, and it's put up or shut up at this point for Miami because, you know, yeah, we made the play-in last year and we're able to get to the finals, but you don't want to just say, yeah, let's get to the play-in. You would love to guarantee yourself a playoff spot, and as of right now, it's not looking too good. However, still some season left, like you said. We're 4-2 in the last six, and I'm still optimistic on this postseason run we're about to head on.
Byron Buxton just made a hell of a layout catch for the second out with runners on first and second. I mean, I haven't seen an old man run that fast since, I don't know, Cat Williams a couple weeks ago, ran the 4-yard dash.
Wheels on him, man.
That boy got some wheels. But same, like you said, it ain't the Pacers checking. It definitely ain't the Twins check. So you guys are in Atlanta tomorrow night, Miami -3.5 on the road. You guys cover, win and cover, or just win?
-3.5. Hey, I could sit up here and say this all the time, but look.
Last road game of the season.
I remember when we played Atlanta on UD night, retiring his jersey, I thought we'd play with a little bit of pride. I thought we'd, you know, win a game and not let DeJounte Murray hit a game-winning shot in our house. I was wrong. I thought last night we'd play with a lot of pride. And, you know, hey, don't let Indiana get that one up on you. Try to secure what you can right now. As of right now, bro, I don't know. I do believe we cover. I do believe we win. But you don't know with this team. And that's also the beauty of, you know, sports, where you got to watch and find out. I'll be watching, and hopefully we do win. And for those who bet, hopefully we do cover.
I love it. Love it. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, as we cross this 30-minute mark, we're going to go watch this national championship game that starts in a couple of minutes, entertain ourselves with some more MLB for the rest of the evening, catch some late games, national championship game. I got to finish
WrestleMania, not to cut you off.
Ooh,
yeah, WrestleMania facts. Was good. If you watched WrestleMania, drop it in the chat what you was excited about. But I'm on night two. I watched night one completely, but I didn't get a chance to watch night two yesterday, so I'm catching up on it right now. I got the Peacock subscription and all that. Fine. I'm actually about to tap into Monday Night Raw too, because I'm excited to see, but I'm trying to finish WrestleMania so it can make more sense. But shout out to Cody Rhodes. Shout out to iShowSpeed. Like, iShowSpeed went from stream to WrestleMania. Like,
facts.
That is a dream come true to be RKO'd by Randy Orton on the announcer's table at WrestleMania wearing a fucking Prime Gatorade drink, mascot. Crazy. Shout out to him. I got some shit to catch up on. Probably get on some spaces. Talk to my boy Brill and them boys. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, if you tapped in with us, man, we appreciate y'all in the chat right now. We appreciate y'all listening live. If you're gonna listen, you know, on streaming platforms, we appreciate you as well. We'll be here Thursday, right, E?
We will be here Thursday, 1000%. This was your Monday night All Things Sports, number one sports podcast. I'm Small Town EP. Your host, Wade Julian, here with me. If you're tuning in on the live, thank you so much. If you're tuning in after the fact on my streaming platforms, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to hang out with us, because you could have been anywhere in the world. We'll see you all on Thursday. Peace.